Well, I'm here, I'm back, and this is the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 289. Thank you for hanging in with me. My voiceover project is complete, and now you have my undivided attention. Or something like that. It's good to be back with you, producing a fresh episode. Today we're on track two, which means we're in the New Testament, and we're going to begin reading Paul's letter to the Philippians with chapters 1 and 2. First, a little background about the book. Philippi was an important city in the western part of Macedonia, which was generally in the area of modern Greece. Paul wrote this letter from his prison cell in Rome. The Philippian church was started by him, so he had a particular fondness for them, considering them his spiritual children, so he wanted very much for them to grow in their faith and service to God. He originally went to Philippi as a result of a vision he had, calling him to go there. I'm reading this week from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I like this translation. Let's begin. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and strife, but others out of goodwill. These do so out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, seeking to cause me anxiety in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice because I know this will lead to my deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. Now if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am pressured by both. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that, because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Just one thing, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your deliverance, and this is from God. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, having the same struggle that you saw that I had, and now hear that I have. Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Hold firmly to the message of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be encouraged when I hear news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character, because he has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with a father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am convinced in the Lord that I myself will also come quickly. But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need, since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have one grief on top of another. For this reason, I'm very eager to send him so that you may rejoice when you see him again, and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. May God richly bless the reading of his word. Today I'd like to focus briefly on chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where Paul wrote, "So then, my dear friends, just as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." Some misinterpret Paul's meaning when he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This does not mean that we earn our salvation by works or by somehow earning our salvation, which would contradict his teaching in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which said, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." So what did Paul mean here in Philippians? It helps to look at how it reads in the original Greek. Now, I don't have time for a detailed explanation of the language, but Paul was saying, basically, even though I'm not there to teach you, don't stop living your lives in such a way as to please God. Keep doing the things that you've learned are right. You are new creations in Christ. Show the evidence of that in how you live and how you treat each other. Don't become lazy in doing this, because God himself is doing a work in you, giving you the desire and ability to become the person he wants you to be. Guys, even though we live in a pretty messed up world, we are called to hang in there and bring the light of Jesus to the darkness that seems to pervade this place. The awesome thing about dark and light is that no amount of darkness can extinguish light. But the smallest amount of light always chases away darkness. You might feel as if your influence is small, but believe me, the light that is in you cannot be squelched if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to do the work He has started in you. What God begins, He will finish. If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com and look for episode number 289, or tweet me at @SteveWeb_ with a hashtag of LifespringMedia. Tomorrow we'll be back on track 3 and we'll continue in the Song of Solomon. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.